Hey, good morning, Spanish River Church. I'm so glad you joined us for worship this morning online. If I haven't had the joy of meeting you, my name is Chan, and I'm one of the pastors here at Spanish River Church. In these moments that we're living in now, it is more important now more than ever to saturate our hearts and minds in the Word of God. And so I want to encourage you, grab your spouse, grab maybe a couple of friends, grab your kids, jump on the couch, grab your Bible, and open with me to Psalms chapter 13. We are continuing our series entitled Unshakable Faith, How to Have Faith in Uncertain Times. Before we jump into our text this morning, let me just pray for us, and then we'll get right into the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are sovereign, you are good, you are in control. And even though we live in a world that seems like it's been turned upside down and there's uncertainty and chaos everywhere, that we can know, we can have this peace deep in our hearts that you hold the world, you hold the universe in your hand, that you have us in your hand. And so, Holy Spirit, as we study the Word this morning, man, will you just minister your peace as only you can to our hearts. And God, I just ask that your Spirit would make this psalm come alive in our lives. And it's in your name and for your glory we pray, amen and amen. Over the last 3 weeks, we have woken up in a world that is strangely different than the world we are used to. And I know that many of us are wondering, how long are we going to have to live in this weirdness? Is this our new normal? And we're asking questions like, how long do I have to social distance? How long will my kids have to stay home from school? How long will I be without a job? How long will I be without income? How long do I have to worry about getting sick? This is exactly the question David was asking in Psalms chapter 13. He's asking, how long? And so this morning, what we're going to look at is how to have unshakable faith in the time of waiting. And so let me read Psalms chapter 13 for us. The psalmist cries out, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord, my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy says I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love, and my heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. This past week, you've probably been bombarded with a lot of messages of courage and hope and faith in the midst of crisis, and you want to be that person that's continually optimistic and upbeat and cheerful, but yet underneath, you may be feeling stress and anxiety and worry about the future. Man, if that's you this morning, you're not alone. I have felt that. David, the author of this psalm, has felt the very same way we have felt. Now, I don't know about you, but I find incredible comfort in the fact that David experienced the things that we're experiencing today. I mean, David is one of the giants of the Old Testament. He was a man after God's own heart. He was a general, a king, a writer of scripture. He was an ancestor of Jesus. And yet in Psalms 13, David describes a time in his life where he felt like God had abandoned him, when worry and fear and despair and depression was filling his heart. I mean, one of the reasons I love the Psalms and why we're spending this series in the Psalms is it models for us authenticity and vulnerability. I mean, David is all over the place emotionally in the Psalms. He's real, raw, authentic, vulnerable, and honest. I absolutely love it. My heart resonates with David's heart. But the reason I love it the most is because even though we can be shaken in the midst of crisis like David, the Psalms always points us consistently to an unshakable God. I love the way David expresses his heart. Just in these six short verses, he expresses despair, he expresses prayer, he expresses hope, and he expresses joy, all in these six short verses. And so this morning, I just want to look at these expressions that David has in his heart. The first expression is an expression of fear. David starts by asking God the honest question that almost always pops up when we are going through crisis. How long, O Lord? He feels like God has abandoned him. Notice that David repeats this question four times. He feels like trouble and sorrow is never going to end. Time flies when you're having fun. But the hours crawl by when life is hard. I mean, when you're on vacation, the days fly by. When you're in a hospital, the hours creep by slowly. I mean, we can almost put up with anything if we know it's only for a short while. But it can be absolutely unbearable when there's no end in sight. We can usually handle short, sharp trials, but long-term trials grind at us. We live in a world in which we want everything instantaneously. We're not used to waiting. We need something, we hit a button on Amazon, and poof, it's there oftentimes the same day, or at worst, the next day. I mean, if we are hungry, we hit a button on our Uber Eats app, and man, someone's there instantaneously feeding it to us. We live in this instant world. And we often treat God like Amazon, where we pray and we expect same-day delivery. We expect God to answer our prayers instantly. And when he doesn't, our faith can be shaken, especially when we're looking around and it seems like everybody else is faring better than we are in this crisis. These big crises like the one we're in can magnify all the other little crises that we face in life. Waiting in the midst of crisis can shake your faith. When the road of crisis is long, we find ourselves asking God, how long? How long, oh God, are we going to have to deal with this? And waiting can lead to a downward spiral of despair emotionally and spiritually. I mean, now we're running on adrenaline. But if this waiting continues on and we begin to feel the impact of COVID-19 in real and personal ways, we may have to fight back despair. And the psalmist, he opens his heart for us and shows us what this downward spiral of despair can be like in this season of waiting in the midst of crisis. The first thing he says is, has God forgotten me? David cries out, how long will you forget me forever? Have you ever felt like that? Has there ever been a time in your life where you felt like God no longer cares about you? He's no longer concerned about your worries or your fears or your anxieties or wearies, like I just said, your worries. There's moments in that when there's one great ancient church father said it was the dark night of the soul. You think to yourselves, man, if he remembered me, he would not have allowed this to happen in my life, or at least he would have stopped it. Secondly, we can wonder, has God rejected me? David cries out, how long will you hide your face from me? Now, rejection is worse than being forgotten, because if God has only forgotten us, and sooner or later, he'll remember us and come to our rescue. But if he's hidden his face, then he knows that I'm there, and he's consciously ignoring me and turning away. The psalmist expresses his heart in Psalms 22, 1 and 2. He cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. For David, the hiding of God's face, it is an expression of alienation, it's an expression of a curse, but when we feel like God has turned against us, our hearts can be filled with condemnation and shame. We think that God is punishing us for something we've done in our past, and Satan loves to exploit this and cause us to turn away from people who love us and care for us. In an age of social distancing, Satan can tempt us to spiritual distancing. Now, here's the third expression David felt. He wondered in waiting, has hope left me? David asks the question in verse 2, how long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? Have you ever had those thoughts that just keep racing in your head over and over again and you have a hard time turning off your brain? You try to figure out how to get out of the crisis and you find yourself getting deeper and deeper in despair and battling depression and you're not finding your way out. This is exactly what David is expressing here. He's racking his brain trying to figure out a way out of the crisis, and he's losing hope fast. Hope increasingly becomes fleeting and elusive. Now here's the fourth expression that David gives us. He wonders in waiting, has God failed me? David wonders in his waiting, how long will my enemy triumph over me? Can God protect me? Has he failed to fulfill his promises to me? For most of David's life, he had a real enemy that were out to kill him. Today, we have a real enemy that John 10:10 says is out to kill, steal, and destroy you. There are times when we think that Satan may have won. When darkness descends into our hearts, it can feel like death has swallowed us up completely. We begin to have a crisis of faith. Our faith can be shaken and we wonder where God is and how long will we have to wait for him to respond. And so David just, man, pours out his heart in this real vulnerable way. But I want you to see that David doesn't leave us with these dark questions of despair. He shows us a way out of the despair. David's prayer in verses 3 and 4 is the turning point in the psalm. David prays to the very God who seems so far from him, who seems to have abandoned him. And although he feels that God has turned away from him, David doesn't trust his own feelings, but by faith, he pleads with God to hear and answer. David cries out in verse 3, consider, or one translation translated it as, look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say I've overcome and my foes will rejoice in my fall. David's faith is unshakable even in the time of waiting. By faith he holds on to the relationship with God and calls him my God. For David, God isn't some distant, disconnected God. He is very real and personal to him. Regardless of what his heart feels, his faith is rooted in who God is. Have you ever cried out to God and called him my God? Do you have a personal relationship with God? Well, we're going to see in the next few verses that in the darkest times, that God is the only hope we can turn to. You see, sin is looking to created things for our ultimate source of hope. Created things aren't bad. They are ordinarily good things, but they can't be things that we put our ultimate hope in because only the Creator is worthy of our ultimate hope. Everything else is fleeting and temporal. Now, looking for hope apart from God is what the Bible calls sin. It is sin not only because it grieves the heart of God, but it also leads us to our own despair and even our own death. Sin separates us from a loving, unfailing God. It keeps us from being able to call out to God in the midst of our despair, my God. Now that's the bad news of the gospel. The good news of the gospel is that God is pursuing you with an unfailing love. And all you have to do is put your trust in Jesus Christ, who took all of my sin and all of your sin, and God the Father placed it on God the Son on the cross. And on the cross, Jesus paid the penalty for our sin so that we can come boldly to the very throne room of God and receive grace and mercy rather than judgment and wrath. And that is the good news of the gospel, and that is where David has put his hope in. Now, I want you to keep that in mind, because at the end of the sermon, I'm going to give you an opportunity, if you have never put your faith in God's unfailing love, to pray a prayer personally to God and cry out, my God, so that you can have a personal relationship with him. And so I want to spend the next few moments together showing you how you can put your faith in Jesus. David is saying, look at me, answer me, give me light. I love that he cries out, look. Every so often, my girls will want my attention. I can be preoccupied on my phone and not hear them. And they'll be going, dad, dad, dad. And I'll still be consumed in whatever it is I'm doing. And they'll jump up and they'll grab my face physically and say, dad, look, look. This is what David is doing. He's looking to the face of God and saying, look upon me. Because the hiding of his face is a sign of alienation and curse. And the shining of God's face signifies God's blessing in our lives. And David, in this moment, more than ever, needs to feel the presence of God. He needs the face of God to shine on him. David also pleads for an answer. This is a confession that there's no other place that David can go to find an answer for his despair other than the blessings of God's grace and presence. David is pleading with God to give him light because darkness is all around him and he's refusing to feed his fear. He wants God to show him the truth so he can feed his faith. Now, here's the beautiful thing about this psalm and all of Scripture is that it all points to Jesus because he is our answer. He is the light. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but walk in the light of life. And so let me unpack with you how Jesus answers David's prayer, how Jesus answers David's expression of despair, and how Jesus answers our expressions of despair. And so let's go back through it again. Has God forgotten me? The answer is that in Christ Jesus, you are held secure in his hand. Could God forget you? Of course not. I love what God says in Isaiah 49:15. When he was asked if he had forgotten Israel, and God answers the question by asking a question, he says, can a woman forget her nursing child, that she would have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you in the palm of my hand. Our hearts may tell us that God has forgotten us. In fact, Satan wants us to believe that we have been forgotten. And yet the truth is that God has not forgotten us. He has you securely in the palm of his hand. I said this last week, but it's worth repeating this week, is that that God got you. I know it's bad grammar, but it's good gospel. We need to remember that. We need to preach that truth to the despair of our heart. Number two, has God rejected me? The answer is in Christ Jesus, you will never be rejected. In Mark chapter 15, verse 34, Jesus cries from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the answer to Jesus' question is this, that God the Father turned his back on God the Son so that he would never have to turn his back on his children. The cross is an absolutely outstanding reminder that God will never forget us. He has forgiven you of all of your sins, past, present, and future. He will never punish you for your sins. He has already punished Jesus for your sins. Now, he may discipline you because you are his child. And when he disciplines you, run to him for comfort because you know that you are his child. The cross is the clearest and most compelling reminder that God will never reject his children. Now, here's the third expression that David shared. Has hope left me? The answer is, in Christ Jesus, we have eternal hope. Paul gives us these powerful words of hope in 2 Corinthians 4:16. He says, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer selves is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day, for this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, namely the promises of God. For the things that are seen are transient. They are fleeting. But the things that are unseen are eternal. Those are the promises that God has given to us in Christ Jesus. Our hope is in an eternal, unshakable God. Everything around us is fleeting and uncertain. We can put our hope in the eternal, unchanging, unfailing love of God. Now, here's the fourth expression. Has God failed me? The answer is that God has not failed you, but that he has fulfilled all of his promises to us in Scripture in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this, "For all the promises of God find their yes in him. This is why it is through him that we utter amen to the glory, to God for his glory." You see, all the promises of God are fulfilled in Christ Jesus. God will not fail us in any of the promises he has given to us in Scripture. The cross is evident of God's determination to fulfill all of his covenant promises to his children. Now, this is why the psalmist could end this psalm by singing, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has dealt abundantly with me." I want you to notice something really important in this text. Between verses 4 and 5, David tells us nothing has changed around him regarding his circumstances. He hasn't said anything has changed. What has changed is his heart. How? He has put his trust in the unfailing love of God. David says, "But I trust in your unfailing love. Despite all the circumstances that are swirling around me, I will put my trust in you." This is how we have an unshakable faith. The cross of Christ is the clearest and most compelling picture of God's unfailing love for us. The cross empowers us to trust in God's unfailing love. When we know that we are secure in his love, no circumstances, no matter how hard, how difficult, how great, can shake our faith. When David speaks of salvation, he's speaking of salvation in the sense that it means a complete well-being. Without a doubt, he means that salvation is the forgiveness of sin, but it also means comfort for the heart, quiet for the mind, healing for the body, and complete, perfect peace and rest. It's real hope, hope that sees the future, that will give you a joy even in the darkest times of life. Now, God's promises are fulfilled in Christ are so big that it changes everything. Now, how does that work? How does that change our hearts? Imagine if you won the lottery. Your heart would race. It would feel like you're having a heart attack. You would know what those numbers meant, and you know that the lottery would pay out just as it's promised. Your reality would radically change before you even received a dime of it. Now, I'm not advocating playing the lottery, but here's my point. God's promises are more reliable than a winning lottery ticket. Our heart should start racing when we read that God has promised us in Christ Jesus that his unfailing love. He has dealt with us bountifully by giving us himself, securing us in his hand. He is all we need in the midst of crisis. I think one of the most powerful viral videos that have come out of this virus, no pun intended, is the videos of the Italians in their apartment buildings, in their homes, singing out at night in the darkness of this pandemic with incredible, unwavering courage and hope. The psalmist can sing in the darkness, because he has put his hope in the unfailing love of God. We of all people can sing in the winds of death. Our trust, like David, is placed in an unshakable God. And so we can sing along with David. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Now, I think it's easy to feed our fear in times like this instead of feeding our faith. We need to feed our faith on the truths of God's word, just as David did. I think it's easy to feed your fear. We feed our fear by binging on 24-hour news networks or going to the grocery store and seeing empty shelves or watching Pandemic on Netflix, which is not a good idea. I did that this week. I wouldn't do that. Or even silly things like hoarding toilet paper. We need to feed our faith on the promises, on the unfailing love of God. We feed our faith by binging on the Bible or listening to worship songs or praying with your family and neighbors or reaching out to friends and let them know you're praying for them. So it takes the focus off you and your circumstances and put your eyes on Jesus, who is the hope of the world. It will calm your neighbor's fears as it calms your own. Or you can do something deeply spiritual like watch Frozen 2 and spend time with your kids. That's how we feed. We need not feed our fear and despair. Feed your faith, and you will have this unspeakable joy. You will sing how good and gracious and sovereign our God is. Now, I want to close with the answer to the question, how long? How long? Not long, because God has not forgotten us. He holds us in the palm of his hand. How long? Not long, because God has not rejected us. He rejected Christ on the cross so he would never have to reject us. How long? Not long, because God has not left us without hope. He has given us his Son and he has given us his Spirit so that we can have an unfailing hope and faith in him. How long? Not long. Because on the cross, Jesus has defeated the enemy and has overcome sin and death for us so that we can have an unshakable faith in him. Now, for those of you who have logged on this morning and you've never put your faith in God's unfailing love, I want to invite you to do that with me right now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, man, we thank you for the psalmist and his vulnerability, his openness, his honesty to share his heart with us, because so many of our hearts resonate with him. God, more than anything, we need to put our hope and faith in your unfailing love. And Jesus, we thank you because what you did for us on the cross gives us an unshakable faith in the Father's unfailable love. And so if you have never put your faith in Jesus Christ, I want you to just pray, maybe just out loud. You're just in front of family and friends. Maybe you're by yourself watching this on your iPhone. Just pray out loud. Oh God, my God, I put my hope and my faith in your unfailing love, in what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross and taking my sin and taking my punishment that I deserve in order that I may have life and life for all of eternity, that I could have an unshakable hope in your unfailing love. It's in your name we pray. Amen and amen.